Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Mark chapter 4. Last Sunday, I preached a message to you called The Other Side. How many of you guys were here last week for The Other Side? One of my absolute favorite messages that God has ever laid on my heart to share. She got to preach it last night at this conference at my friend's church, and this passage of scripture is just so rich that I couldn't get away from it. Is it okay if we just hang out in Mark 4 today? Is that cool with you guys? Doesn't matter what you say anyway, we're doing it. I got the microphone and they already preloaded the scriptures, so. But just in case you weren't here, I want to catch you up real quickly to what we were talking about when we were talking about The Other Side. Thanks, Andrew. I'll have you come up and join me at the end. I appreciate you. Can we give it up for our music team, guys? Appreciate you, doggy. I had a friend of mine was preaching on Friday night at this conference, and he told me a rule that he has, or he said it while he was preaching, and I told him, man, I'm stealing that. So he said this: here's the rule that I have, and we're just going to make a commitment to each other, that if five people clap, everybody has to clap. You know the awkward clapper at church? You know, the pastor is just on one, and he's just going in, and one guy stands up, he's like, yes, and everybody else is like, bro, cool out, man. Yeah, that's Jonathan. That's why he's on staff. So here's the thing, if you're brand new, we have a very responsive church. We engage in scripture. I like to try and preach in a very conversational manner. I try to help you smell the Bible. I want you to feel like you're in the moment. I want you to feel the wind blowing. I want you to hear the rain dropping. It's the way that I read scripture. When I'm reading scripture and preparing sermons, I imagine that I'm writing a movie, that my sermon is like a movie, and what would it look like, and how would it sound and feel? And so I really enjoy it when it's an interactive experience, when if there's something that connects with your heart, just give me an amen. Awesome. Yeah, that's one person. I heard it. Now you all got to do it. Okay, now don't be that guy who just starts a slow clap just to start a slow clap. This is getting out of control. Let's get back to scripture. We're going off the rails here. But the other side. And last Sunday I talked about going to the other side. And Jesus, he communicates in Mark chapter 4 to the disciples after he's ministering to people and doing miracles and he's healing people. And a guy with a withered hand shows up. And Jesus prays for him and his hand starts working again. And he raises a paralyzed man up and now he can walk. And he's teaching people. And there's so many people on the seashore that they're all crammed up. And Jesus has to push out onto a boat away from the seashore because there's so many people. And there's miracles happening. There's revival. And then Jesus looks at the disciples and he goes, let's go to the other side. Like Jesus is like, let's leave all this ministry opportunity here. Let's go to the other side. And the other side is full of bad guys. So the Romans live in the pagan cultures. And so the crux of our message and the thrust of our message last week is who is going to go to the other side? Even though the way that they live offends our notion of dignity and offends everything that is laid out in Scripture, but they're not living the right way and they're not doing this and they don't say the right things and they dress like that and they make these decisions. And Jesus says, yeah, but let's go to the other side and just talk to them and have a conversation. We see that this conversation starts a revival on the other side. But why should we... I kind of want to press in a little bit into this thought of why we should go to the other side. Jesus is telling this story here. And we see scripture described as seed in scripture. We see finances described as seed in scripture. We see words described as seed in scripture. Seeds are powerful things. Seeds are extremely powerful things. Something about seeds is that they're really super small, right? You ever bought seeds online? Raise your hand if you've ever bought seeds online. Cool. I just wanted to know, just out of sheer curiosity. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about. I was just researching seeds, and I saw you could buy seeds online, and I thought that was a very interesting thing. But seeds are easy to overlook. Seeds are easy to miss. Seeds are not very, most of them are not very nourishing. I have to eat so many sunflower seeds if I wanted to have a real meal. And by that time, you don't want to eat sunflower seeds ever again in the rest of your life. Because that's too many sunflower seeds, bro. And seeds are so very easy for us to miss. Jesus is telling this story in Mark chapter 4 before he tells them to go to the other side. And he's teaching in parables. Let me tell you this. You and I, we need to go to the other side. Do you believe that? We need to go to the other side. But it's not just to go to the other side because there are people over there. I believe that. I believe that there are people on the other side who need us to get there. The other side, even though they don't live like we would hope that they would, according to Scripture, doesn't mean that Jesus loves them any less. On the other side is somebody's daughter, is somebody's dad, is somebody's cousin, is somebody that someone else has been praying for forever. And maybe you going to the other side and having a conversation is the fruition of someone else's seed that was sown years ago. So we need to go to the other side, friends. We need to be the kind of people who get into the boat with Jesus when he says, let's go to the other side. The other side for you, I said this last week, I want to double down on it. The other side for you might be the other side of your fence. It might be the person who they let their dog run in your yard. Their kids are out of control. Their house looks like a mess. It's a good thing you don't have a homeowners association, because if you did, they would be kicked out. Like those kind of people that maybe the way that they are living offends you, and so you're just like, ugh. Mow your lawn, ugh. Like, that sounds trivial and weird, and we can laugh at it, but people do that. What if when you get to heaven, Jesus goes, why didn't you talk to your neighbor? And he goes, oh, his grass was too long. He left his kids' toys out. Funny, but people do that. Like, let's not over-spiritualize this, guys. Let's not be like, I'm going to go to the pagan. I'm going to go to the den where the witches are and evangelize. How about you go to your neighbor with the long grass? We need to get to the other side. For some of you, maybe the other side is the other side of your bed. And you walked in here this morning and there's tension between you and your spouse. You know, sometimes going to the other side requires massive amounts of humility. It requires massive amounts of humility that even though when you feel that you are in the right, that you are willing to humble yourself and have a conversation. So that's what the disciples had to do when Jesus said, let's go to the other side. I might have pushed back a little bit. Jesus, look at everything there is to do here. Let's go to the other side. The other side might represent a lot of things to you. Maybe the other side is a family member that you haven't talked to for a long time. Maybe the other side represents stepping out in faith and starting that business. When it's safe and comfortable over here on the shore, when you got a salary, but you know in your heart that God is calling you to step out in faith and trust Him and just run with that idea. Maybe that's the other side for you. And they step into the boat here. This is Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Let's go across the other side. Leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat. Just as he was, the other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose and the waves were breaking into the boat. So the boat was already filling. But Jesus was in the stern asleep on the cushion. They woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." The wind ceased and there was great calm. You know, the Greek word for that, it says a great windstorm arose. The Greek word is seismos. And seismos is like an epic shaking. Let me tell you this. If you are the person who, by the grace of God, and you have been inspired and you are empowered by the Holy Spirit, and you are going to the other side, whatever that represents for you, you better believe you're going to encounter some opposition. You better believe that there's going to be something in the way that does not want you to get there. My friend on Friday night preached a message called Faith for the Fight. He was talking about how, you know, we have faith and we're like, "Yeah, Lord, do it, Lord." And he's like, I'm waiting for the kind of Christians who will stop simply sitting back and saying, "Do it, Lord," and who will get into the fight. He said, there are plenty of churches believing for more people and not nearly enough fighting for more people. Oh, that'll preach. Yeah, one person's clapping. Now you all got to do it. And I believe that there are plenty of people believing for miracles in their life, but they're not fighting for miracles. They're believing for some sort of breakthrough. They're believing that God will change the heart of their spouse. They're believing that God will return their kids to them. They're believing that God will provide some sort of miracle. But that's where it stops, just sitting and believing. You got to know that when you start stepping out to the other side, there's going to be opposition. When you are stepping out in faith, I got to believe that the devil, he sees all these guys in the boat and he goes, "I'm going to take them out right now. I can end this ministry before it even gets off the ground." And there are people that will set themselves up against you. There are spiritual battles that will set themselves up against you. Are we going to be the kind of church who simply believes that something is going to get better? Or are we going to be the kind of church that gets into the fight and has faith to fight and steps out into the battle? That's going to determine the effectiveness that we have as individuals in our lives and that we have as a church in this city. I got to back up here because in Mark chapter 4, verse 30, Jesus tells this parable. And he's talking to all these people. He's teaching on the seashore. And Jesus is trying to explain to them what the kingdom of God is. Just read about what the kingdom of God is through scripture. Just Google that and read all the scriptures or whatever software you have. It'll freak your being. The kingdom of God is weird to us. And he says this, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." That's the end of the story. Verse 33 says this, "With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything." So he's telling the crowd, he goes, "Let me tell you what the kingdom of God is like. You guys know a mustard seed, right?" And they're like, "Yeah." "You know how small it is, right?" "Uh-huh." "It's the smallest of all the seeds." "Yeah." "But once you sow it into the ground, it becomes bigger than all the other plants. So big that even birds can build homes in it." Good night. Jesus is a trip. And then it says, it explains to us, Mark, this is Peter's gospel, so Peter tells us, he didn't speak to them without a parable. He told them all stories, but then he turned to us and he explained everything. And it's at that point that Jesus wants to explain what he has just said. So he turns to the disciples and he goes, let's go to the other side. So Jesus, with what he is doing, is about to illustrate this story. They get to the other side. For the sake of time, we're gonna fly through this because we talked a little bit about it last week. If you weren't here last week, please go listen online on our app. Go find that. I think it's on our Facebook link. Shannon's got everything rolling on Facebook. But he goes to the other side. And they leave the crowds and they're met with one guy. Just one guy. Who Jesus heals him, casts the demon out. The guy says, can I go with you? I want to go back with you. I want to be on your team. Jesus goes, no, you got to stay here. You tell everybody what just happened. You tell everybody what I've done for you. And then he does. Jesus goes back a couple of chapters later, and what was one guy is now a massive crowd. On the wrong side of the lake, the other guys, the bad guys, massive amounts of people are now showing up to hear Jesus preach. Jesus is illustrating to the disciples, and I think illustrating to you and I, a very important point about seed. And some of you, I know this, went out last week and you're like, well, that was encouraging. Well, what about the other side? What do I do to go to the other side? Some of you left here and you started praying for big miracles. Some of you in this room have been praying for massive miracles for a long time. And as I was praying through this and just asking God, what is it that you want me to communicate to Genesis Church this week? What is it that you want me to talk to them about? And I feel like the Spirit of God wanted me to communicate this to you this morning, Genesis Church. That so often, we mistake our seed for our miracle. Hang with me. We are praying for God to do incredible things. We're praying for faith. We're praying bold prayers. We're praying big prayers. Because you hear people say things like, if your vision isn't big enough, if it doesn't scare you, intimidate you, then it probably insults God. And so you're like trying to pray these big kind of prayers. And you're sitting around waiting for this massive miracle. And then God drops a seed in your hand and you go, what is this? You kidding me? God, did you hear me? Did the wires get crossed? Were you listening to somebody else's prayer? This is not what I prayed for. God, I prayed. I prayed that the funding would come through and I would get to keep my job. What is this? God, I prayed. You told me to go to the other side. So I stepped out. And I was met with this. I didn't leave the safety of the shore. I didn't leave all those people for this. Because what we so often do is God puts something in our hand and we assume that that's our miracle. The other side is a place of rejection so often. You get over there, you're praying, and you get to whatever your other side is. Like you decide, you know what? I'm going to go to the other side. I'm going to humble myself. I am going to make my marriage work. And you start serving, and you are serving your guts out, and you are met with rejection at every turn. And you go, God, what? Wasn't Jesus rejected when he got to the other side? So often the other side is a place of rejection. It's a place of discomfort. It's a place that causes you to get outside of yourself. And oftentimes you don't see the results for a long time. I'm trying to stretch your idea of what the other side is. Jesus, he gets over to the other side and he does this miracle. And everybody goes, you got to go, man. This is not okay. They did not accept him. So God is calling us to go to the other side. And we get there and we're rejected. What do? I would say this to you. You keep it up. to the disciples, if I'm watching Jesus when he's over there on the other side, I'm going, was this just the most gigantic waste of time? Because think about it, the disciples, we get to read the end of the story. They didn't. Jesus goes, let's go to the other side. There's one guy there. They do a miracle, and Jesus goes, all right, we got to go. Well, what a waste of time. What about all those other people that we could have been working with? God, it was comfortable over here. I left my salaried position. You told me to step out, and the business failed. What's up with that? No, no, my idea didn't catch on. Nobody got it. What we fail to see is the seed that was sown in that situation. Church, we got to have faith to see beyond this next year in our life. This whole entire story is an explanation of seed being sown into the ground. So, what we have to be able to do as a church, and what you have to be able to do as people, is to be the kind of person who relentlessly pursues and who relentlessly believes. And you're like a dog that's clenched down on the promise. God is faithful, church. He is who he says he is, and he will do what he said he's going to do. Pastor, I've been faithful longer than you've been alive. Well, you're not dead yet. Story ain't over. Yeah, Pastor, well, maybe, you know, maybe for them, but why do we put so many buts in what God can and cannot do? This is crazy, church. This is crazy to think and live this way. It's crazy to live this way. It's crazy to keep, when you know that something in your heart is right, to keep pursuing it and pursuing it and pursuing it when you're being rejected, when you're being ridiculed, and when you're being mocked. Think about Noah. Goodness gracious. 100 years he's building his boat. It's not raining. There's no water. 100 years. Noah's still working on his boat? Yep. What an idiot. 100 years. You know what every one of those planks was? It was seed. You know what? You know what this demon-possessed man was? He was seed. It was seed that Jesus knew. Jesus could see the end. He could see the outcome when they couldn't. And all Jesus needs is a small measure. What you have in your hand might seem so small, so puny. The abilities that you have, the skills that you have, the dream that you even have might seem so puny and so small. And you look around at everybody else. I know we got a lot of college students in the room and young professionals, and I get to have this conversation. They're like, I look at my friends, and they've already picked a major, and they're in all these classes, and they got everything together, and here I am sitting here spending my parents' money. I don't even know what I'm doing. Well, guess what? Just because they picked a major doesn't mean they have it all together. They're just as confused as you are. They just picked something. Newsflash. Yeah, I'm going to be an economist. Probably not. Hope you enjoy washing cars, economics degree. I studied economics, so I know. So I can make fun of the economists. But you might be looking, you've been praying, and God drops something in your hand, and you go, what is this? Like you just feel insulted. Or God goes, doesn't he say this in Scripture often? Use what's already in your hand. What is in your hand? I can take that and make it. And you go, this? God, this? Because we see the dream, we see the vision, we see this, and we look at what's in our hand and we go, this? And Jesus goes, the kingdom of God is like a grain of a mustard seed that is the smallest of all the seeds. It got picked last on the seed dodgeball team every time because it was so small. and so cute. And it goes into the ground. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you know the kid who was like this short in school? And then all of a sudden, he's like the center on the basketball team. And you go, Cliff, what? Stop drinking creatine in your cereal. Please. It's bad for you. You look at your seed and you go, and then here's what we often do. We just wait for God to put more seeds in our hand because we want to be efficient with our work. So we just wait for more seeds. And God's like, would you just put the mustard seed in the ground? Would you just do it? Would you just trust that what I've given you is enough to accomplish what I've called you to do? Would you just put that thing in the ground, please? What does that look like going to the other side? It looks like a conversation. It looks like you serving your spouse, even if you're met with rejection at every turn. That seed, putting that in the ground, it is praying. It's praying for your children. Because guess what? Chances are high that somebody else is going to harvest the seeds that you planted. That is scriptural over and over and over and over. Music team, would you guys join me? I want to close right now in this spot. Church, can we stand?